Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello and welcome back. This is Father Robert Nixon here of the Order of St. Benedict, and this is our commentary series on The Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Cussade. Today is day 18, and we're going to be moving on to chapter 4 of book 2 of this work. And this is the last section of the book. It's divided, this chapter 4 is divided into 12 different sections. So today we're going to be examining the first three of those sections. Let's pause now and begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you encourage us to entrust all of our troubles to God, to let Him take care of our worries, to place our confidence in His loving and provident wisdom. Let us strive always to put that into practice, above all when it seems difficult to do. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So in this fourth chapter of book 2, he's going to be talking about some of the assistance rendered by the fatherly providence of God to those souls who have abandoned themselves to him. Now, in our previous section, he focused on the trials and the challenges. Things like criticism from other people that we're not doing enough in our spiritual life, criticism even from ourselves, where we feel that we've kind of lost our way, or that we're just drifting along, or that we're not doing anything truly spectacular in our pursuit of sanctity or our practice of virtue. He's talking now about some of the various sources of relief and assistance which God provides souls in this state. And although he's going to be talking about assistance that God gives, these forms of assistance aren't always things which are terribly obvious as such, as we will find out. So in the first section, he talks about confidence in God. And he says, the less the soul in the state of abandonment feels the help it receives from God, the more efficaciously does he sustain it. So this is actually quite complex and paradoxical. I'll read you a bit from the beginning. There is a kind of sanctity in which all the communications of God are luminous and distinct. But in the passive state of pure faith, all that God communicates partakes of the nature of that inaccessible darkness that surrounds his throne, and all ideas are confused and indistinct. The soul in this state of obscurity is often afraid, like a prophet, of running headlong against a rock. Fear not, faithful soul, for this is your right path, and the way by which God conducts you. There is no way more safe and sure than this dark way of faith. And then the soul replies, but it is so dark that I cannot tell which way to go. And he replies, go wherever you please. You cannot lose the way where there is no path. Every way looks the same in the dark. You cannot see the end because nothing is invisible. Okay, so this is very complex here. He's talking about the soul in such a condition that it isn't sure of exactly where it's going, of where its spiritual life is leading it. Having fully abandoned itself to God, God then leads it along the right path, but it's a path which the soul itself the reasonable mind is not able to perceive. And he's saying that this, in fact, is a source of grace, a source of faith, because the less we're able to see for ourselves where this path will lead, the more strong our faith in God has to be. And this isn't only a demand for more faith on our part, but it's also the grace of the gift of deeper faith from God. And he talks about all we need to do when we get into this kind of situation. And I think most people encounter this situation from time to time in their spiritual life. And Deku Sard is saying it's actually not a bad thing. It's not a problem in itself, because it calls us to walk by faith rather than by sight. And he says, we will forget the paths and what they are like. In other words, we'll kind of forget all of our preconceived plans and ideas about what we should be doing and how we should be progressing. We will forget ourselves, very important, and abandoning ourselves entirely to the wisdom, goodness, and power of our guide, we will think only of loving him, avoiding all sin, not only that which is evident, however venial it may be, but even the appearance of evil, and of fulfilling all the duties and obligations of our state. This is the only charge you lay upon your children, O divine love. All the rest you take up upon yourself. Well, this is quite an amazing thing. And we're receiving this piece of counsel that when we don't know where our spiritual life is going, when we're not sure about what path God has mapped out for us, we actually don't need to worry about it. We only need to worry about three things he mentions. Firstly, loving God, who is our guide. If we do that, we're not going to go wrong. Secondly, avoiding evil. And this, as he points out, is not just a matter of avoiding things which are obviously sins and so forth, but even avoiding the tendency towards them, the appearance of them, the attraction of them, all kinds of vice. And thirdly, and very importantly, he mentions the fulfillment of our duties according to our state in life. So in other words, all we need to do is redirect our heart to think, do I love God? Am I avoiding evil? Am I fulfilling those duties which pertain to my state of life? And as he points out, God has asked us only this very, very simple set of things to do, and he takes care of the complicated side of it, the path of our sanctification and salvation himself. We don't need to know those things. And I think this is part of when Christ said, unless we become like little children, we're not going to be able to enter the kingdom of God, because it implies this faith in the superior wisdom and knowledge of God. And he says, in such circumstance, the heart says, all goes well. It is God who carries on the work. There is nothing to fear. In the next section, he talks about the diversity of grace. And he says, the afflictions which the soul is made to endure are but loving artifices of God, which will one day give it great joy. But this is quite a complex section, and probably will take a couple of readings fully to grasp what he's saying here. He begins with a kind of analogy between our spiritual life and a musical composition. He says, souls that walk in light sing the canticles of the light. Those that walk in darkness sing the songs of darkness. But both must be allowed to sing to the end of the part allowed to them by God, in the great oratorio. Nothing must be added to the score, nothing left out. Every drop of bitterness must be allowed to flow freely at whatever cost. It was thus with Jeremiah and Ezekiel, whose utterances were broken by tears and sobs, and who could find no consolation except in continuing their lamentations. Now here he talks about the work of God not only through the canticles of light, through the experiences of joy, but also through the songs of darkness through these experiences of sadness or discouragement or desolation. And he says, you know, think of it as an oratorio, which is a type of musical composition, a long and complex musical composition, that all the parts, all the different notes, the ones which clash, the ones which harmonize, the major chords, the minor chords, they all form part of the complete picture of this work of art. And as he points out there from the examples of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and if we read the books of those prophets, we realize that, you know, they were often mourning and lamenting and confused and not sure about what God was asking them, or feeling even that God was asking them too much. But he said of these prophets, had the course of their grief been interrupted, we should have lost the most beautiful passages of Scripture. The spirit that afflicts can also console. These diverse waters flow from the same source. And then he talks about how we should understand these things as really being signs of God's love, both the good things and the bad things. And I think to call to mind a line from Job, that God sends us both joy and sorrow. If we accept one from him, we should also accept the other, because we accept them not because of the thing itself, because we necessarily enjoy it or desire it, but rather because we love the giver and we trust in the wisdom of the giver. And he talks about, O Lord, it can be truly said that you carry your children in your arms during this long night of faith, and that you are pleased to allow an infinite variety of thoughts to pass through their minds, thoughts holy and mysterious. In the state in which these dreams of the night place them, they indeed experience the utmost torment of fear, anguish, and weariness. But on the bright day of eternal glory, these will give place to a true and solid joy. So if we think about this, what he's saying is that when we experience these times of darkness, it's then that God is really carrying us most closely and lovingly in his arms, although we can't see it or understand it. And that whatever transitory sorrow we pass through, whatever fear or anguish or weariness we experience, this is all going to be transformed on the bright day of eternal glory into true joy. So he says that the difficult things which God sends us are really his love in disguise. And it's something which is, I guess, a bit of a difficult thought to get one's mind and heart around, but I think it's worthwhile calling it to mind whenever we do experience these things, that God is carrying us all the time with his loving hand, that he knows best. If we can think about it, I guess it's a little bit like life in general is a little bit like someone who's at school. They're going to have to do a bunch of things which they don't really enjoy. It might be maths or spelling or phys ed or whatever it is that they don't like doing, as well as the things they do like doing. And of course, sometimes they're going to be afraid of things. They're going to be afraid of exams or maybe even of their teachers or so forth. But the fact is, all of these things are there for their own good. They're put in place, hopefully, by people who know what they're doing and who are treating them with love. And God is just like that. In the third section, he talks about the generosity of God. And he says, the more God seems to despoil the soul that is in the state of abandonment, the more generous are his gifts. He says, with God, the more one seems to lose, the more one gains. The more he strikes off what is natural, the more he gives us what is supernatural. Okay, so this is quite an amazing thing to think about, that when we seem to lose something, to be deprived of something, in fact, we're receiving a gift, a corresponding gift, or indeed even a greater gift, of supernatural grace, which takes its place. And, you know, we probably don't recognize it at the time, but we can probably recognize it in retrospect if we look back at our own lives and we see, well, something which I had, which was lost or taken away from me, either a person in my life or an experience or a role or even an actual possession. But then somehow I gained greater grace out of it, a greater supernatural gift. And if nothing else, we're gaining always the grace of closeness to God, of coming to love Him more and more alone. Because the less our hearts love the things of this world, the less our souls are attached to the things of this world, the more 100% they are attached to God. So this brings us to the end of day 18 of our study of abandonment to divine providence. Thank you so much for joining me. And we're going to be continuing in our next session with chapter 4 of book 2. And we'll be moving on to the next few sections of that, sections 4 through 7. Until then, may God bless you and inspire you in your meditations on what we've been talking about today. Thank you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by Tan. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from Tan, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe. And use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.